Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit of understanding.
I have the spirit of understanding.
I have the spirit of insight.
I have the spirit of insight.
God's word is clear to me.
God's word is clear to me.
And I have direction.
And I have direction.
I have ability to obey.
I have ability to obey.
I have ability to conform to His will.
I have ability to
His will is being worked in my life. Alright, so let's declare the word of God. 1, 2, go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Understanding is your portion today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Insight is your portion today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Purpose is clear to you today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats and quickly get into the teaching we have for today. Now, please open your Bibles again to the book of the second epistle of Peter. That's the one that has been, that's one we read last time. We have been talking about the work of God, how to serve God effectively, the true service of God. Again, if you've not read the book, when you find a copy, please read it. A book I wrote a number of years ago titled How to Work for God. The second edition is coming out shortly. So if you read that book, what I'm teaching now, they are found inside there. And we're just trying to explain the word of God clearly, all right, to the people of God in a, all right, again, we can't say these things enough. So I've been looking at it. Last time we explained that the most important thing, the primary work of God for the life of the Christian is to be conformed to the image of Christ in his life. We have been establishing the fact that, first of all right, the work is inside, it's not outside. Last time we read the story of Mary and Martha. When Jesus went to their house in the book of Luke chapter 10, when Jesus went to their house, we saw what happened there. Mary, the Bible says, was seated at the feet of Jesus, learning his word. But Martha was busy. The Bible says she was distracted. Let me emphasize that again. She was distracted. The issue is distraction. What we are doing is to compare distraction with attention. That is, in the life of Martha, the good things she was doing, they were distracting her. That's the problem with that particular situation. It was not as if those things were bad in themselves, but they constituted a distraction for the life of that, let me just say expression, that child of God, all right? But Mary, she was sitting down. Again, remember, her own sitting down was not out of idleness. Let's get that clear. It is not as if she was sitting down at home while everybody was in church. It's not as if she was sitting down, all right, watching TV, because there are Christians who sit down and watch TV, and they now say that, look, that thing you are doing is not the work of God. The Bible says, you know, Pastor Banky preached that we can sit down and be doing God's word, God's work. You know, it was not my classmate, but we were school about the same time, all right, the same level. Those are when he was in school, they were talking about the word of faith. His classmates would go in the morning to go and read their books, to go and attend lectures, and he would sit in the hostel and be laughing at them. He said, you people are depending on the arm of flesh, all right, by going to attend lectures. Of course, at the end of the day, the arm of whatever he was depending on failed him. Just by the way, just so you understand. You know, sometimes we don't balance things well. The fact is that was the duty of students to go for lectures and learn. It's not as if they're depending on the arm of flesh. A student is supposed to go to class and read his book before he starts praying that God help me. Some people say that I didn't know anything and I passed. If God does that for you, don't brag on it. Those are things that he does, and he says, see that you tell no man. Anytime he does it, say, please don't tell anybody. It's an embarrassment. Don't let my children get the impression that the way I do things is that they will not learn anything, yet they will pass. You can do that. You can do it. But if you do it, the people say, I didn't even come for the exam and I had the results. You go and tell the lecturer. Don't testify about it. Go and tell the lecturer. Excuse me, sir. You posted that I had an A. I was not around. Let him produce the script that the angel wrote on your behalf before you settle down. Because the day they will publish your result in final year, na extra year you define with that. That your testimony in second year, you realize that it never happened. It's true. Yeah, you know, because it was a mistake. They used to put A for you. You didn't come to school that day. It's in final year when they are compiling your result for NYC. That is when you will realize that that miracle never happened. Go and meet the man and say, excuse me, sir, I wasn't around. You published it, I had an A. And he said, ah, is that not your handwriting? Is that your number? Okay, an angel did the work. So thank you, sir. I thought maybe I forgot I came. All right. The Lord is good. Now back to what I was saying. So it is not as if Martha or Mary was sitting down doing nothing. No, no, no. What Mary was doing was that she sat down, all right? The Bible says she was listening to his word. If you remember that we read it last time from that book of Luke chapter 10. That's in the verse, let me just read the verse out to us, verse 39. So the Bible says that Mary sat at his feet, listening to his teaching, listening to his word, listening as he was teaching, all right? And that was what made the sitting down important. The work of Martha was not bad in itself until it constituted a distraction to attending to God's word. Last time, the example I gave is that in many churches, people occupy themselves with things that distract them from God's word. You have a guest minister coming to town. They put in the cooking committee while the man is preaching. They tell you that go and get his food ready. Tell them, I am not doing. Resign from committee that day. How can you invite a man from afar, a man that you know is going to bless you? They now put in the committee, in the protocol department. You are in his hotel room getting things ready for him to eat when he finishes preaching. Meanwhile, while he's preaching, you are not there. You should know you are being distracted. That service is not good. That service is not good. It's bad. It is bad. It is bad. It is very, very bad. Are you getting my point? That's the point I'm trying to make. So what I was saying, that God is more interested in his word entering into us. I said last time that grace is crucial. God doesn't want things you can do by your own strength. He said, occupy with this until I come. He gives you something to occupy with. Are you getting my point? It is not use your own strength. So when he wants to give you something, it's again by the issuing forth of his word. We read that time, the Bible says that he picked those who were going to be with him, all right, so that he could send them forth so that they could have authority. Before you can do anything for God, first of all, you must have been with him. If you are not with him, listen, you can't do anything for him. He must be with you. You must be with him, learning his word. You must be with him, knowing his ordinance. You must be with him, allowing the life of God. Are you getting me? Allowing the life of God to enter into you through the word of God. It's when that life has entered you that it produces work in your life. It is not that, you know, listen, if you know, let me just say this again. Many times you see, this is my best example. Somebody was a musician in the world, all right? He was singing. Michael Jackson gave his life to Christ. The next day, he's singing praise and worship. That guy will soon backslide. They will backslide. What are you doing singing praise and worship? When yesterday, you were still singing, you want to be satisfied on something. Today, now, you are singing, oh, Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. I just worship him. Raise up your hands and worship the Lord, Michael Jackson. You gave your life to Christ yesterday. You know nothing about worship. You know nothing about worship. If whoever gave you the microphone, you should come to the front and say, once I was lost, now I have been found. Thank God with me, my sins are washed away. Go back to your seat and go and sit down. We don't want to hear one song from your mouth for the next 2 years. What are you singing? What do you know to sing? But Christians don't know. As not, oh, come on. Let me say, give me the name. P Square. What's the name of Peter? Peter and what? Yeah, what's their surname? Peter Okoye gave his life to Christ last week. Praise the Lord. Do you have a special number for the people of God? That's how the boy will backslide. Are you getting my point? That is how he will. If he comes to church, tell him, don't give him any special. If I say, you remove your earring, remove your, you know they call it earring? All right, okay. Your earrings. Remove your earring, remove your tattoo, comb your hair. Have a godly hair. That rubbish you tie for there. It's not in this church. Comb your hair, wear a suit, sit at the back. If you're not ready to do it, you're not giving your life to Christ. But you know, men that we are intimidated by worldly, presence. God knows me. Walk in here, I don't care who you are. The only time you can get my attention, be aged. I respect age. It's in the scriptures. You come in, you are white-headed. I will give you that one. But I don't care if what's his name? Two-Face comes in here right like this. I will just look. I would just pinch somebody. Who be that? There's an Idibia guy with that. Tubaba. I say, what is he looking for here? When I'm done, I walk past him. He's not a ruler of the people. He's an entertainer. I will walk past him. If he wants to see me, the typical protocol goes, talk to apostle first. He said, I want to talk to pastor. I said, what do you want? Tell me. He said, I want to talk to pastor. Ah, listen, he won't talk to you. He doesn't know you. You are getting my point? Yes, I would not. You were singing for the whole world. Listen, singing for
Singing for Satan, because that's what some of these boys do, all right, is very different from singing for God. You say, what do you mean by singing for Satan? Once you tell me that now two chicks are going to carry, you are singing for Satan. Yes. Singing for Satan and singing for God are two different things. You come to church, sit at the back. Pay attention. Hear God's word. After 6 months, we will let you just say, please, brethren, I need to say this. I just want to shout hallelujah in my own way. Hallelujah. That's all. Sit down. Before you can minister praise worship in that church, 2 years will elapse. And we will be sure that you really are called to do praise worship. Because jamming on the stage and leading praise are two different things.
Yes,
two totally different things. Christians don't get that point. You now put the poor guy who just gave his life to Christ under pressure. When he's coming to church, everybody's staring at him. Two-faced gave his life to Christ. So what? mafia bosses have gotten born again. Paul was worse than you. He persecuted the church. You only sang bad songs. He got born again. But you know, oh God, may God give us understanding. I pray that many people are listening to me, all right, that are preachers. You know how to arrange your church. Young converts class, go and sit down there. Don't sing there, you listen. Don't harass other young converts with your presence. The Lord is good. Now, why did I get into that? I was just explaining that, listen, this is how it works. First of all, God wants us transformed. The outward thing is not what he's trying to do. It's when he has transformed us, some things will come out naturally, which he placed in there. When that is happening, we say we are walking by grace. And like I said last time, so what he's doing is preparing us to receive grace. He's not preparing us, okay, to walk by with our own energy. He's preparing us to receive grace. That's why he said that they will have to be with me so that they can receive authority. When they have been with him, that's when they receive authority. Are you getting my point? You remember when Peter, James, John, all the disciples or the apostles, of course, and people with them, when they went out to minister that day, all right, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, people were looking like, what? Who are these men? Look at how they are speaking so eloquently, not afraid of the multitude, able to face the crowd. Somebody now said they have been with Jesus. Now, was he being with Jesus directly? No. You see, it was when the Holy Spirit came upon them. But being with Jesus prepared them to be able to receive the anointing. Are you getting my point? And that was what Jesus said. You will be with me so I can send you forth so that you can receive authority. God works his work through us, not with using our own energy, not using our own effort. But when we have been with him, he transforms us so that we can receive the proper enablement, which is what we call grace. All right, we call it grace. So that we can now do the work of God, and that is the work that counts. Last time I ended with this, that don't ever forget. Jesus said in that Matthew chapter 7 that we read, he said that in the last days they will come, and they will say, we did all these mighty works in your name. And they will say, and he will say to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. What does that tell us? For us, for our work to count in his presence, he must know us. And we ended with one point. That must be the striving of our souls to be known by him and for us to personally know him. That is the way it works. Let's continue from that particular point. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read. Today we want to read this again. And that's where I'm trying to continue the issue of the work of God inside us, how we are supposed to go about it. Let's start from verse 2. Peter was writing, he said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers, he says, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason, that's where we are focusing on. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence,
and your moral excellence, knowledge, then self-control, then perseverance. That's verse 6. I'm jumping a few words. And godliness. In verse 7, it says, add brotherly kindness and love. Verse 8, it says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. Somebody say diligent.
Diligent.
Please say it again.
Diligent.
He said, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Now, why did I read this? We read it a number of times as previous days, but we really didn't sit on it for long. I want to do that this evening. Now, we're talking about God's work, and I've established, they came to Jesus and said, what must we do that we will be working the works of God? He said, the work of God is that you believe. Believe in him whom the Lord has sent. Why I read that is that you see that faith is of the heart. And it was saying the work of God is first of all that which you do in your heart. That the work of God is not what you do outwardly. I said it earlier, let me say it again. You have a young Christian who is coming to church. Don't try and push him to do work thinking that that will make him committed. He doesn't need that kind of commitment. What he needs is a commitment to listening to God's word. There's a story I told in that book, How to Work for God. Many years ago, after my youth service, or I just finished youth service, I was in Lagos. Shortly after my youth service, but just a few years afterwards, actually, I just remembered now. But sometime ago, I started attending the church in Lagos. And one sister who knew me in school, don't forget, the title Pastor Banke I used today was dashed to me while I was on campus. I started preaching the gospel that time. I was a fellowship president. So naturally, I was one of those people that people just assume that once they leave school, ministry goes out. Are you getting my point? All right. I didn't do like that. It wasn't as if I planned it, but that was just how it turned out. And God helped me through, he solved my confusion ahead of time by giving me a revelation when I was serving, doing my youth service in Taraba State then. I dreamt one particular night, and there was, you know, there are dreams you dream, and there's something about them. You just know that this is not a usual dream. I mean, Pharaoh was dreaming many times. He didn't call everybody. Nebuchadnezzar had dreamt and dreamt and dreamt. He didn't call anybody. But there are dreams you dream, you just call everybody. Are you getting my point? Eventually, the matter got to Joseph, and Joseph said, yes, you're right. This dream is not an ordinary dream. It's a dream indeed that God is using to tell you something. And he gave him the interpretation and how to plan for it. The same thing with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was so worried him, he was going to kill all his wise men and his advisors if they didn't tell him the interpretation. And he was very, very crafty. They said, all right, they will tell me anything that they want to say if I tell them the dream. So he told them, I'm not telling you the dream. In fact, I've forgotten the dream. So first of all, remind me of the dream. My God, you know, just digressing. When they are giving you free money, be careful. Those guys were living large, feeling very happy. Did they say, pay, work for all the pay I've been giving you? They said, tell us the dream. Said, so that you just come and be deceiving me. So all right, I've forgotten the dream. And if you don't tell me the dream, I'm going to collect all my money back by removing your heads. That just by the way. And of course, Daniel went and prayed and God revealed the dream to him. No, that just by the way. So the point I'm making is that there are dreams like that. You have them and you know this is significant. And I had a dream like that. And the moment I woke up, I knew it was significant and I meditated. I got some interpretation, but God didn't bother to explain it. I didn't fully understand it until it played out over the next many years. Okay? Now, what that meant was that I just realized that, and I left school in 1991. I began Kingdom World Ministries in the year 2002. That's a while. Are you getting my point? And it was not 2002. Yes, 2002, 2001, I think that about. Yes, 2001 was when I began to make some arrangements. 2002, we started working, printing tracts and stuff like that. 2003, we started teaching, meeting here. Now, so, but for that length of time, you can imagine, I would have been wondering what is going on with my life, really. Because, I mean, you know, you're, you know, anointed, you know, people just assume. And in fact, there was a clinic I worked those days in Lagos. My MD, he used to look at me and said, he would say, this boy, you are telling me
that God has not called into ministry yet. Ha. So one day went and met Bishop Oyedepo and told him that he was the deacon in Winners and said, there is a young man that works for me. Papa, you need to talk to him. That the pastor, so he came to me, just came to work one day, said, you have an appointment for you. Next week, Thursday, you are seeing Papa. I said, yes, sir. So I packed my things. I went, waited the whole day. Eventually, I saw Bishop Oyedepo sometime in the evening. Yes, things like that happened in my life. All right, we talked. I mean, I'm not like I'm bragging, but the first time I went for Winners School of Ministry was a personal invitation from Bishop David Oyedepo. So he said, okay, come for my, I teach a school of ministry. We're just starting it. That I'll start next week, so and so time. Make sure you are there. I said, yes, sir. He said, when you come, you see me. I came. That day, I remember I stood, looked at him from a distance. And something in me said, why bother? Just learn from him and forget it. And I walked away. Don't ask me why I did that. But I remember that day I stood. Of course, it wasn't so easy. You don't just walk up to him like that. I mean, there's a lot of protocol. But if I had waited, and I knew people around him, one of the secretaries was one of our sisters in school. All right? I knew her. I could just call her and say, hey, girl, Papa said I should see him today. Make sure you arrange it. And she said, nope. And she was somebody who called me Pastor Banky with respect. Are you getting my point? So I could do that. But that day I just got there. I felt that, and I know it was the Holy Spirit. All right? I just felt, I stood. I was watching from a distance. Papa said, see me when you come. I said, but what is it, am I supposed to see him about? It's not to learn these things. Let's just keep coming. And until I left Lagos, I didn't miss any school of ministry. I came diligently. Now, so that was the kind of thing that was happening. I remember my church where I did my house job those days. The pastor then, all right, one day I went to visit. And I said, so how come with ministry? I said, well, I haven't started. He said, what are you waiting for? I said, we are still preparing. He said, if people like you are preparing, then the work will never get done. And I didn't have an answer for him once. Something just struck me. I said, well, the depth of preparation determines the height of achievement afterwards. I just told myself that if you are building a short building, you dig a small foundation. If you want the building to go very high, then you have to dig very deep. Now, why am I saying this? Because it's a story. The story, I told a bit of it, longer than this, inside that book, How to Work for God. So one of those days, when I met Pastor Kwodwo, I going to Covenant Christian Center. And then he shared some revelations, the type I had never seen before. Intense revelation, deep truths of God. This when you sit down, you think I take time here? It's because you want to go home. I don't want to be the pastor of a large church. I don't like the job. Come on Sunday morning and there are 1,000 people gathered in the hall trying to listen to you, 5,000. I don't like the job. Some people may like it. Some people enjoy it. I don't like it. Is it bad? No. Everybody has his job. Because I've noticed that when churches are big, messages are short. That's just my reason. Nothing more. When churches are big, messages are short. Those days, Bishop David, when he stands once like to preach, 2 straight hours, wonders of faith, you will hear the gospel, your life must change. Once I was going to Covenant those days, when Pastor Kwodwo handles the microphone, it's 2 hours, 30 minutes, regular Sunday morning. 2 hours, 30 minutes, regular Sunday morning. You know, revelation that you scratch your head, open your Bible again, say, okay, repeat it. You come to church, you know, say you must hear a word. Now, that's it. I'm talking about revelation, understanding, teaching. You know, that's why this church Sunday morning, preach 40 minutes, 10 services, I personally don't enjoy it. I don't. I'm not saying it's wrong, though. Everybody knows what they enjoy. I watch a particular trend amongst preachers. I said, God, please, don't let this happen to me, please. I'm not saying I'm under control, but I mean that I'm in charge, that I can control it, but I just don't want it to happen. Because I find that once churches get too large, messages get too short. You see, if you've been there, you know. It's not the preacher. It's the congregation. They are restless. The anointing will vanish from your head. I have been in a meeting before that we conspired and shut down the anointing of the man of God. We didn't know. We didn't say, let's shut it down. Let's shut it down. That day, we just say, oh, this man, oh, we'll go home today. Shortly after that ministry, the atmosphere just froze. He told me later, he said, Banky, I don't know what happened. That was not what was supposed to happen this evening. No. I didn't want to tell him, okay, before you came, we were grumbling. Our grumbling spirit shut the atmosphere down, froze the whole thing. He couldn't talk. Long story about why we're grumbling, that's another story. When when people are plenty like that, it's hard for a preacher to talk for long. It's very hard. Very, very hard. Unless you build the congregation in a particular way, so that, and it's, let me not bore you. I'm just going to emphasize why I never liked it. Because I've seen it when people are getting too plenty, just sharp, 30 minutes, everybody goes home, and they're happy they've gone to church on Sunday. You know, the disciples of Jesus, they came to him, say, what were you saying there? Jesus said, those people, they just came to church, they didn't come to learn. They just came to church. He said, the word of God has to be to them in parables. He said, but you who have come, those of you that came and said, what are you saying? Let me give you the meaning of the parable. The sower went to sow the word. Now, that summary you see was a summary. I am persuaded Jesus was there for hours talking to these people, explaining to them, breaking it down. They were asking questions, and he was drilling the word into them when those who came for the multiplication of bread had gone home. Now, why am I talking about this? When I encountered good word that time, I entered that church, I began to listen. So that sister asked me once, he said, Pastor Banky, which church do you attend? I told her. He said, are you actively involved? I said, yes, most certainly. What do you do? I said, I am actively involved in listening to the pastor. She started laughing. I wasn't joking. I knew I was actively involved in listening to the pastor. I told you one of those days, I came to church. After service, I wanted to book the tape. The guy told me that they didn't record. I said, what happened? He said, the recording machine is faulty. So I said, no problem. Next Sunday I came, did you record? He said, no. What happened? They have not yet fixed the recording machine, or they haven't bought another one. I looked at him. Two hot messages missing. The next Sunday, I borrowed my neighbor's recording, that music player, and brought it to church. Said, this one can record, plug it. Meanwhile, I went home, sat down, prayed, had my own personal service, you know, church service again, and closed my eyes, and I began to recount what he said 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago this time. Because two services had passed. I began to recount what he said. And I started writing them down. And as soon as I began, it started flowing. The scriptures, the illustrations. I still have the book. It's in my house. If you remind me, I'll bring it for you guys to see. I wrote and wrote two services. The message is still in my heart. Talked about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. How to predict your life by observing the sufferings you are going through. That for every suffering, there is an attached glory. That the Bible says that the prophets prophesied concerning the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Two services, I recited everything to myself again and wrote the messages down. Because the man who was in charge of tapes did not record. So when I said to somebody, I was actively involved in listening to the pastor, I was not joking. I told you, sitting down is not sitting down watching TV. It's not sitting down reading novels and feeling happy. It's not sitting down because you are lazy. It's sitting down listening to his word. There's a world of difference. That is the primary assignment of God. Sitting down and being transformed by his word. That sister asked me that day, are you actively involved? I said, yes. She said, what do you do? I am the number one listener in that church as far as I'm concerned. I didn't tell her like that. I'm just telling you, that time. One day, we and the pastor had this kind of discussion. So we kind of held different viewpoints on the same thing. So he said something. I said, but sir, you said this before now. Then you said this another time. After I quoted him like 3 or 4 times, he looked at me. He said, you know the problem? You people listen to me too much. And he turned and left. Because I was telling everything he said. He said, this was what you said. If you want, I'll give you the time you said the message you were preaching. The man looked. One day we're there. No, one day we're just discussing like that. So I said, one of my friends just came and he borrowed 30 of my tapes that he preached. He looked at me, "You have 30 of the tapes I preached?" I said, "Yes, sir." 30. I said, "No, I didn't say I have 30. I said, my friend borrowed 30. He looked and walked. I said, "Oh, you think we came here to play?" There were certain scriptures, in fact, generally, this idea, you heard it before, if you read some books, that the Old Testament was written to the Jews. Have you heard that before? And the New Testament was written to Christians. That was the day the man just showed from two scriptures that is a lie. That the Bible says that the prophets prophesied by the Spirit of Christ. And they sought to know what the Spirit of Christ in them was saying. And what did God say to them? "What you are saying is not for your time. It's for another time to come. You just prophesy and die in peace." He said, Paul said, writing to the Romans, that I'm an apostle of the gospel which the prophets preached. The man said, "Listen, don't let anybody tell you that Old Testament was written to Jews." Said, "The problem is that people don't have the eyes to understand. Their eyes are blocked." He made two statements in that area. He said, "If your eyes are open," reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, "we with an unveiled face." He said, "If your eyes are unveiled, you will see the tabernacle, you will see Christ. You will see the sacrifices, Christ will be revealed to you. You will see the cloth that Aaron's wearing, you will be seeing Jesus in everything." He said, "But if your eyes are covered, veiled, you come to the New Testament, where grace is so clear, you'll be seeing law. You will see why the women should not tie their hair. And you start dreaming," I'm adding my own words now, "you start dreaming dreams of falling and going to hellfire and seeing all the women there. Why the men with all the adultery and the armed robbery and kidnapping and stealing of government money and lying with the gospel, they've gone to heaven. Why? They did not do their hair." You start redesigning makeup. He said, "Makeup means to make yourself up. It means God didn't make you well." I said, "What does dress up mean?" "God didn't dress us well too." The point I'm making is this. He said, when your eyes are veiled, you will go into the New Testament, you start seeing law. Even the laws that are not there, you write them inside there. You know the favorite one? There's one law that's not anywhere in the New Testament. People wrote it inside. Tight. Not anywhere in the New Testament. Not one place. They wrote it inside there. That's what happens. Now, somebody said, with your tithe, you buy the destiny of your children. Because that is when you have law. Why did your shirt tear? You paid God offering with torn money. So God tore your shirt. Things that God didn't command. Why? Veiled eyes. That was when I came to understand that, listen, this Bible, there's no path that's for the Jews. Every path is fulfilled only in Christ. Even if the Jew wants his path, he has to come into Christ first. Only in Christ Jesus are all the promises of God's yes and amen. That was when I began to reread the Old Testament. And it now began to speak again to me. What we call Old Testament. I don't use the expression Old Testament anymore anyway. I use the expression the law and the prophets. That's what Jesus called it. What am I saying? You need understand. Listen, church work, that's the work of God, is not guru-guru. It's not hustle. It's not the physical thing. You know the interesting part? I'm going to go back to this matter on in a moment, but I just feel like sharing some things. A lot of Christians will be surprised how God judges. Let me just talk about that. And I'll go back to this issue of the main work inside. You'll be surprised how God judges. I told you last time, the day of judgment, many Christians are in for a surprise, a big one. We read it, he said, they will come and say, "We prophesied in your names, in your name." Once I went somewhere, my friend organized a program, and he gave me a book. And the man who wrote the book said that 99% or 90% of Christians, he said, are going to hell. When I said it, I said in my mind, I don't agree. But you know, later on, I thought, I said, well, maybe he means 99% of churchgoers. Yes, because maybe why I didn't initially agree was I stuck with the word Christian. And I said, no, no true Christian is going there. None. But I said, churchgoers, many people go to church. Jesus, I never knew you. They will spend money in church, spend time in church. Some even preach. They say, oh, it is our evangelism day. They'll go house to house so that it can be recorded that I want two souls to Christ. They will now say, when you are going to heaven, you will hold the souls like this. You know, I've told you before, that thing is a lie. Naked you came, alone too. You are going back that same way. God doesn't count the number of souls you won to your credit. He doesn't do that. Why does he not do it? You can't win a soul. Who are you? It's the Holy Spirit that does his work. Can you preach? Yes. If the person doesn't respond, is it your fault? No. That's why he doesn't do that. Isaiah said, I've spent my strength for nothing and for vanity. Jeremiah said, the word of God has only brought me problems, removed my friends, created enemies for me. So I said, I will not preach again. Paul said, even me, when I'm preaching, I am not doing it willingly. Not because I just like the idea of preaching. He said, but something has been poured upon me. Necessity has been laid upon me. What was he saying? I can't say I tried. What? Try what? If I don't preach, it's like fire in my bones. Why should you reward me for releasing the pressure in my soul? It's like you go to the toilet to go and wee-wee. You know me, you know this kind of thing. You've been sitting down, traveling, 6 hours, 7 hours, you drank water on the way. Then as soon as they stop, where's the toilet? You now go there, you now, praise God. Now say they should pay you. Why should they pay you? You are releasing the pressure in your bowels. Are you getting my point? That's what Paul said. Same with Jeremiah. That's why God doesn't say, okay, you won 5 souls. The man that won the greatest number of souls at a time in the Bible that we are aware of, he did it grudgingly. What's his name? Jonah. Thank you. Jonah. Jonah went there. 40 days, you guys are in trouble. And he was waiting, went and sat and let's see what's going to happen. At the end of 40 days, they had all repented. That is, immediately after they all repented, they were fasting and saying, God, we are sorry, we are sorry, we are sorry. Jonah looked. 40 days, no problem came. He said, you see, was this not what I said when I was in my own house? Jonah hated the idea of the people repenting. He wanted the credibility of his prophecy. That's what the man wanted. He won a great number of souls, but he did it grudgingly. What does that tell you? It was not his preaching. It was the Holy Spirit working. Are you getting my point here? So that is why God doesn't score anybody for those things. I was saying, you'll be surprised at how he judges. You know, they came to him that day, they said, he said, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Why? Because I was hungry, you fed me, I was thirsty, you gave me food, I was sick, you visited me. And they said, when did we do that? Now, you see it as I go and I'll explain it. They did not even know when they did the work that counted. That's what I'm bringing up now. I'm not even talking about the feeding. But the fact that the one that counted, they didn't know what they did. I've told you, forget his enemies, but he sowed this seed, it will multiply. It never multiplies. It never does. Anyone you put down, they say, multiply for me, is dead. He's planting cooked beans. That's how it is. The one that produces something, you won't know when you did it. When God is blessing you, you say, when was that? He said, I like you. You're my guy. He said, Lord, thank you. So the way you have just been blessing me on this earth. He said, Lord, when did I bless you? You know now, you're my guy. I'm like, Lord, please, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, remember 5 weeks ago, you were in a hurry? That brother said, please, can you just give me small transport money? Let me go somewhere. You tapped your pocket. All you had was 100 naira. You said, hey, I don't have much. You took 50 from me and gave it to him. And it was so small, you forgot. Because that's my guy. I said, Lord, what about the 1 million check?
Say that one. No, that was for your pastor, not for me. Say, Lord, what do you mean? That he begged you for it now. He told you to sow a seed for your house. Didn't you? Say, yes, eh? So I didn't collect. Wale Oke said something once where I was. He was preaching my church where I did my house job those days. He said, those that do the work that count, don't stop to count them. Let me add my own words. The things that count, you don't even know they count. And I pray, you know, all these pastors that are misinforming Christians, I hope they will come to church and sit down. Let me teach you the truth. All the labor you are laboring because you think God is observing, the very things he's counting, you don't know. You can't know. I may even be able to, some of us who teach, he may give us understanding, we teach some principles. But in our own personal lives, we also can't tell. We also can't tell. People say, once I set 10% aside, you know, God will bless me. I say it under God. You are lying. He will not give you anything. Once you release the money because you want his blessing, it's lost. Once you give money because let me see what he's going to multiply back, he won't multiply anything. The one he counts, you don't know when you do them. You don't know when you do them. You don't know. They just erupt, listen to this, out of the love of God that's acting in your heart. When I say this, Chris, look, listen. I found that only preachers have a problem with what I say. Because they are afraid. Because they often depend on this pressure for Christians to give money. For Christians to work for God. This is Kingdom World Ministries. I'm here preaching. I don't walk alone. By the time I arrived today, because of the journey I had, you know, we were coming from far, meeting was already on. How the meeting got opened, who opened here, who got things ready, who put everything, everybody sitting down here comfortably. I wasn't there. As I'm preaching here, things are still going on. People are manning the cameras. People are ensuring that things are going on smoothly. So I'm trying to emphasize, I appreciate the work of the hand, you know, the physical labor of believers. Just like I'm laboring, I appreciate their own labors, everybody that's working with me. However, those physical things themselves are not what constitute the work of God for an individual. It's when they are provoked by the Spirit, not by personal need, not by I'm trying to keep account so that when I get to heaven, I will have a mansion. That's what I'm going to emphasize. I am saying, if you do that for these accounting purposes so that I can get, you get nothing. That's what I'm saying. You get nothing. Zero. But when you allow the word of God work in your life, transform you, change you. Are you getting my point? And then, you do things without even thinking you are doing anything. The things that will really count, if God was supposed to be counting them, you wouldn't even know when you did them. I told you the story of one young man, which I heard. My pastor in Lagos that time told the story. A friend of his. In his life, he has like, there were like four or five siblings in the family. Not very sure whether they are four or five. Not more than five, not less than four. He said in their home, he's the only one, that young man was the only one things were working for. All the other siblings, things didn't seem to work right for them. They don't, job will not be balanced, money won't be balanced, life will not be balanced, things are just upside down, family is not balanced. He said one day he thought about it. He didn't know what will explain why he was different. Things worked well for him. He said he thought. Then suddenly something came to his mind. He said, remember the day that they had a quarrel with their parents, all the siblings, and it was the real showdown, they were adults. Their father was doing something, maybe both parents, and they were in disagreement. So they really went hard against their parents. It was a real quarrel. So as soon as they were done, all of everybody scattered. Then, while he wherever he was, like David would say, his conscience smote him. You know, when he cut the cloth of Saul. So he came back to his father. They are Yoruba folks. So he prostrated. on the ground and told his father, I'm very sorry. And his father said, you, it shall be well with you.
He, until that day, he didn't cross his mind. All the seed I have sown. That's how we normally would reason. But that day he reasoned. And remember, his father pointed a finger at him and said, you, it shall be well with you. Which is technically saying, the rest, I am not giving this blessing to. He was not sowing a seed. I've warned Christians, stop this seed nonsense. Please, stop it. You are injuring yourself. You are not walking according to the love of God. Why can't you just be provoked to do what is good? Just for the sake of being good. He said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Just to be good. I mean, why can't we just be clear about this thing? It's not hard. When we hear lies so much, we start believing them. It's the principle of propaganda. Otherwise, anybody will have known that to do things for you because of what you are going to get is selfish. It should have been obvious to everybody. It should have been obvious. The gospel we preach on this seed matter is not true. It's painful. It's like, look, let me, look, we'll get to it later. But let me just give a few illustrations on how to give. Giving is simply provoked by love in your heart and recognition of a need. It's never, oh, let me collect something. He said, the widow of Zarephath gave, and God multiplied. I always ask a question. Could the next widow have given to Elijah at the same time and gotten the same result? The answer is no. Why do we make it look like it's a general rule? If the next widow could not have gotten, why do we make it look like it's a general rule? But that's not the issue. The issue I'm trying to bring out is that, have you ever asked yourself how Elijah got to that door in the first place? We know Elijah was not stumbling around. He was, his eyes were not closed. Tumbum, tumbum, which widow is there? Tumbum, tumbum, which widow is hungry? No. God said, arise. God dried up the brook. He could have sustained the brook. The Lord dried up the brook. Why? He said, arise. Go to Zarephath. I have prepared a woman there to take care of you, a widow. You know the interesting part? Jesus taught us later that it was not the widow that was taking care of Elijah. It was Elijah that was taking care of the widow. How do I know? Because he put two stories side by side. He said there were many lepers in Israel. None was cleansed. He said there were many widows, to none was Elijah sent. What does that tell you? It was those people that were receiving something. What am I saying? There was one that drove Elijah to the doorstep of the widow in the first place. That tells me something. That her single so-called seed was not the issue. See Christians every day just being tossed to and fro. What am I saying? The thing that's really blessing you, the thing that is really blessing you, you don't know when you do them. You don't know. You're just going normally. I remember a story once. I'm just, no, not a big deal. I just want to use as an illustration. Once that met me in church once, he just said, please, Pastor B, please, I'm trying to raise some money for somebody. What happened? He said the child is in hospital. The wife just delivered. Mother and child are in the hospital, they can't go home. Why? There's no money. So she's trying to raise money to pay his bills. So I said, how much? It was a sizable amount of money for that time. So I just, somebody may just say, how many people are you planning to ask? He said, actually, I've asked a number of people. Nobody has given me anything. So maybe you're the last person I'm going to ask. I don't know. So whatever you have, let's just see what we can do with it. So I opened my car. I had a little over that amount of money. So I counted everything I gave to her. I give it to him. Why did I have that amount of money? It's simple. My car needed repairs. There was one car I was using that time. They needed to buy some major parts in front. All right? You know, change real suspension work. And you know the way it is. If you've done stuff like that, it costs money. Those vehicle parts, all right? That was what made me have that amount of money. So I was supposed to see the guy repairing. That day I didn't have time, so maybe next time, you know? That's why he just caught me. So I just realized that, why does she have to be going on? You have the money now. I just give him that. You know, just take. And I was so disappointed when she went and told him who gave her the money. I wanted her to just go and say, hey, our fundraising has worked. Here's the money you said you needed. Now, I just want to use that as an illustration. That's how Christians give. You can't just see. Look, when it comes to the, I keep on telling Christians, God bless us for faith. That's all. No, not that reason. All right? Not your money. But you say, does the money count? I'll tell you where it counts. Faith is revealed in your works. Let me give an example. You see, as an example, the hope for your neighbor, for your society, for Nigeria is the gospel. Then you carry all your money, chop them. You don't believe, you are lying. You are lying. You will see, WHO believes that if everybody can take a dose of polio vaccine, if everybody can take a dose of measles vaccine, they have a number of things they believe that if everybody can take a dose of, they will wipe out certain diseases. You see the aggression with which they go around pursuing it. Do you know how many health workers has been killed or have been killed trying to give out polio vaccines? But they won't stop. Why? They said it is the hope. But we claim the gospel is the hope. I will give when I've built my house. When I've bought my car. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Then when the pastors realize that this Jaguda has no go release, they will manufacture doctrine. At the end of the day, the money will be complete, but nobody will be blessed. Pastor is not blessed. Church member is not blessed. God is angry. We've perverted his word. He's upset with everybody. And that's why it appears as if, you know, if you don't understand it well, you now think God is blessing people because of money. No, he's blessing them because of faith. Grace is always, always activated by faith. And our blessings are purely in Christ Jesus. But where's the faith? James said, show me your faith without the works, and I will use my works to show you my faith. That is why when the giving is deliberately to get something, it's not out of faith. Because the Bible says faith works by love. Where is love when I'm trying to grab something? Where is love? But I look at it, for example, we've been talking now. We've been talking about the gospel, the north, stuff like that, places that have been destroyed because of this Boko Haram thing. You know, I've been saying that if the church in Nigeria gathers and says, let's rise, well, for every build, even if it was a shack that was burnt down, just to make a statement, we will replace it with concrete. So that the gospel can go back. That Boko Haram thing, they drove us away. We are coming. Look, remember, what is the name of Arnold Schwarzenegger? I'll be back. We will be back. Honestly, I think, listen, money has an interesting thing, very powerful. If Kank could gather their acts together and say, Christians, this is what we are going to do, and we do pass through our churches. And say, for every building, even though it was a shack, we will replace it with at least 4 concrete pillars and the beams to connect them and put an iron roof on it. Come and burn it again. If you burn it again, we build 2. We're not saying the gospel is a building. We're just trying to make a statement that as a church, we are not running. If you heard that and you truly believe that the gospel is the hope of Nigeria, something will be wrong with you if you wouldn't set money aside from your pocket and contribute a good, tangible, faith proportional portion. Are you getting my point? You can't say the gospel needs to be preached. Yes, what we have right now in this country is that people don't know the truth. And you see the truth. Then use your money to eat meat pie. Now write to a ministry, can you send me a free Bible? If they send you the free Bible, you won't understand it. How will you understand it? You know, those of us that preach, sometimes you hear some mail, you get some mails. You go through the mails. You're like, okay, don't write me a mail, come and see me so I can beat you. I I told you the story. One young man came to me once. He came from Abakiliki. I said, "What is it?" He dragged me out of a church service. He said, I want to talk about myself." And I scratched my head in my mind. Talk about yourself on a Sunday morning. I look like I'm here to hear about you. Go ahead. When he finished, I said, "Look, summarize this message." He said, "He needs money for accommodation, and he needs money a connection for his business." Thank God for self-control. I look at the young man. I just asked him simply. I said, what did you say we met?" He said, "Listen to me on radio." I said, "On radio?" I said, "Yeah." "How many thousands of people do you think listen to me on radio like you?" He looked at me. I said, "Did you go to secondary school?" He said, "Yes." "Did you study economics?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Have you ever heard of division of labor?" He said, "Yes." "Oh, you have heard of division of labor?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I preach the gospel to you free of charge. I don't charge you a dime. The broadcast, the radio waves coming to your house is not free. We pay for that. You haven't asked me where the money is coming from." I said, "Division of labor. That is my labor. Raising money for people's accommodation, connecting them with their business is not part of it. I have done my division in my heart. And you came from Abakiliki, no pineapple in your hand." Yeah, it's true. "No mango. Nothing. After preaching to you, I should raise money for you. If I give you the money, when you are spending it, you will have laryngitis. You will have a problem. There are monies that are cursed as you are collecting like this." I said, "Young man, this is Sunday morning. I have a service to attend." I got up and walked back into my service. Look, those of you who do preaching, you know what I'm talking about. Listen. If it's an unbeliever, it's different. One day I was in a place, a woman said, somebody greeted me, "Oh, pastor." So I was buying fuel. So another guy came and said, "Oh, pastor, good afternoon. Should they put for me too?" He had a bike. In my mind, I said, "You don't understand. If you had said, 'Dog, should they put for me?' I would have considered it. Once you use the word pastor, I would drive away without paying for my own. I would tell them to hold you." "Don't you read the Bible? Paul said, we minister spiritual things to you. Wicked soul, you are coming to collect our material things again." One man saw me once. Said, "I'm so happy to see you today. The message you preached the other day has blessed me so much. In fact, this is what I made money from it. I did like this. Inside this one that I've seen you today, you will dash me 2 tapes. Chris, I wanted to give him 2 slaps. I wanted to give him 2 slaps. Some people don't have sense. And you go to church, you call yourself a Christian. And say, "No, pastor, you don't need it." Who's talking about need? When you give them Dangote money for a cement, does he need it? It's a trade. Dangote does not need to need money for you to give him money for cement. You just opened your mouth and told me, "I blessed you so much that you were doing business somewhere. You followed the principles of God I taught you, that if you see the amount of profit you made." And what is the solution? "Give me some more." You now know why God will not bless some people. They are too ungrateful. Look, not all Christians are like that. Not all Christians. So the other day, a young man came all the way from Delta State, which is where I'm coming from this morning. He came here. He told me that I said something on radio about blessings being spiritual. And after that broadcast that he entered his room and began to command his blessings out of the place of the spirit. That he entered into the realm of the spirit. I don't know what it meant. But that's how anointing is. He was charged up by the word that day. He said the following day or 2 days later, anyway, shortly after, his uncle called him and said, "What are you planning to do now?" He said, "Young boy just finished in secondary school." He said that his uncle, he said he doesn't, he's still thinking. His uncle said, "Would you like to be a pilot?" He said yes. He says, okay, come. I'm arranging. You are coming to school. You are coming to Canada. You are coming to attend pilot school in Canada. The guy, remember a few days ago, he just entered the realm of the spirit after hearing a broadcast. The guy ran from Delta to Enugu. Stopped in Onitsha, bought 2 shirts. I gave out one of the shirts. I wore the second one. Wore it. It wasn't because of the quality. The shirts I wore were at least 4 times, 5 times more expensive. But I said, this is fruit. I don't know how to explain it. It's sweet. There's a kind of savour. There's a kind of taste it has. I wore that shirt. I wore it out. Wore it until it was worn out. There are gifts of honor. There's giving of honor. What is when we do selfish giving? No, it's wrong. It's not provoked by faith. When you have faith, there are things that faith provokes you to do. If you've seen the word of God transform people's lives, next time you hear that gospel is being preached, you'll be glad to do it. See somebody that's really desperately... No, I told you, what God's really blessing, you don't know when you do it. It just comes out of you spontaneously by virtue of the understanding and faith and love that's inside your heart. Just do some things. That's why God, when he was blessing people, he said, when was it that we did these things? They did not even know they did anything. That's why God said, be with me first. Let me transform you. Doing good becomes second nature to you. So that when you do the good that really counts, you will not even know you did anything. That's why I preached a message long ago. I said, what is the switch of God's power? It's the continual doing of good works. It's just a continual thing. It's continual. It's a habit. Like Paul said, you are devoted to prayer. You are devoted to one another in love. That's what he said in that Romans chapter 12. You just hear that somebody is in need. I mean, Christians should learn how to give. No, real Christian giving. Look, the number of stories I've told some of my books, they are just passing. Maybe we'll come to money matters later. Let me not sit on money now. We'll come to money matters later. My prayers that believers will get to a point here. They are just what the Bible calls cheerful givers. You know what a cheerful giver is? My wife, once she went to do ultrasound. She was pregnant with one of our kids. She said that it was a joke. The one woman, the baby was sick. A little child. Now came. They sent the child to the hospital to do the ultrasound there. When they gave the woman the bill for the ultrasound, the woman began to knock the baby's head. What's wrong with you? Look at it now. She didn't have money. My wife said, Madam, how can it be this little child's fault that he's sick? How much do you need? She said, she gave her the money. It's not let me sow a seed so that my child will not be sick. Nonsense. If you don't want your child to be sick, carry a scripture. Hit that child with scripture from every corner. In the name of Jesus, it is written, I will not bring forth children for calamity. There's a scripture. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. It applies to my household. You declare, as for that your seed, please leave it alone. The Bible says the seed is the word of God. Whether you are believing God for your children or not, if you see a child like that that's in need, that's Christianity. You give. Some will write it down. Say, God, though, as I have given to this child today, you will remember me. I've told you, there are realms in life you are careful not to walk in. Once you say that, you have activated a level, second heaven level, that's what I call it. In that place, accusations rise up against you. Everything you did not do will also be remembered. The little boy that knocked on your window in a traffic light, that you did not wind down to give 5 naira, is remembered. The day you showed your father dishonor by not picking his call is remembered. The day you said to a man, I will pay you tomorrow, you paid him in 3 days, is remembered. Your word did not hold. I told you earlier, a message I heard Pastor Paul preach long ago, what he called innocency and faithfulness. I should get the tape. People should listen to it. You would understand how to walk in the principle of mercy and mercy alone. You are careful. You are careful. Look, listen. I told you. Job said there are times a heart can secretly reach out in worship to the moon. If I do good works, if I do something, maybe I want to pray. As an example now, maybe I help a child, you know, like that, and my son is now sick. If that thought comes to my mind, I confess it to God. Say, Lord, I want to tell you I am sorry. Because as I was about to pray, a thought came to my mind that I have been helping children. You will help my child. I want to say I am sorry. That is not the basis of my blessing. My blessings are in Christ. For that thought to cross my mind, I confess it away right now. Then I turn around and activate the things that are in Christ. You know what happens in Christ? In Christ, every negative thing is not remembered. In Christ, every positive work that you did is also not remembered. In Christ, everything that Jesus did is credited to your account. In Christ, if Jesus did it, they say you did it. If you obeyed the Father, they say you obeyed the Father. I hope you are getting my point. If he went to the cross, they say you went to the cross. They say you were obedient to the point of death. In Christ, it's what he did that is called to bless you. I hope you are getting my point. I went on this and to explain something. We'll get back to the main message, all right? Trying to say that the things we do that actually count. Because the works we do, they count. But we don't know when they do. He said, what do you mean that they count? You said it in Christ. I talked about expression of faith. Faith is what we use to activate what's in the realm of the Spirit. And the thing about faith is that when it's there, it provokes actions without you even realizing you are deliberately trying to do something. That's my emphasis. Many things that count, we don't know when we do them. And that's how we use that illustration. You say, when I was hungry, you fed me. And they said, when did you do these things? He said, in as much as you did them to the least of my saints, you did them unto me. What am I going to say? They did not even know when they did the things that counted before him. They were just doing things naturally. Listen, they did not know they were doing it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say something to you. The blessing that really counts, when God wants to come to make you do something like that, you won't even know he's the one coming. Because he knows that many of us are very good at churchianity. You get my point? When you see the pastor's bag, you carry it. But when you get to your office, you look at your boss, and you look at his big head. Are you getting my point? You don't show him any honor. Why? He's not a man of God. If church is the one doing something, and it can be recognized, people want to do it so that people would know I'm a member of this place, I'm faithful. But if the pastor says, just put your offering in an envelope, I don't want anything written on it, you know, just pass it anytime, you are slow. You are getting my point here. That is a problem. We have to get to a point where this doing of good works is just a natural, it's just part of us. It's not something we think about. We do it, we forget it. Let's get back to the thing I started today. I don't know why. I went to all of this saying that when we are doing things, many of them we don't know which one is counting. The ones that count, we don't even know we are doing them. And that's why I'm saying that that's how we'll be surprised how God judges. So let's get back to what we were saying. Where were we? 2 Peter chapter 1. These qualities, they must be in you and they must be increasing. What I'm talking about is how do they increase? What are the qualities? All those spiritual traits that Peter listed for us there. He said there's moral excellence. There's knowledge, the knowledge of God. There's self-control. The ability to persevere. Christians don't realize that this is important. The ability to persevere, very important. They announced the other day there's economic recession. People are strategizing on how to run away now. You don't know that persevering is something you must know how to do. I've known people that do, they've done 10 businesses. The first one did not make money, they moved over to the second one. The second one didn't make money, they're on the third one. They keep on changing. Why? It has to make money. You don't realize that there is nothing, okay, that you do really that's worthwhile. But let me not say nothing. It's rare for you to just blossom all of a sudden. You endure. You must, like, it's a spiritual trait. Many times you pray for money, God doesn't bring it. Not because he can't bring money. It's simply because he says, you have 5,000. You want 20,000, right? Yes. My current blessing for your life is wisdom to get 20,000 result with 5,000 naira. People don't know that that is godliness. God does that. One woman, they said her child is not doing well in school. So the person telling me said that the counselor said, listen, you're not there to help this child. And any time you pay attention, the child improves. I think maybe you have more than one. They now counsel that we think it is reasonable, therefore, because the job she did, she worked from early in the morning to late at night. She now said, why don't you just resign the job? Get one that takes you fewer hours, that consumes fewer time, less time, so that you can spend time with the child and with your children. The response she gave is one that I thought was a joke, except that the person telling me said it wasn't a joke. She wasn't joking. That how will I pay for my Brazilian hair? Like the way you shock like that. She actually said it. How will I pay for my Brazilian? I said, that was a joke, right? So it did not appear like she was joking, and she definitely did not take the counsel seriously. She opened her mouth and said, okay, if I resign this job, how will I pay for my Brazilian hair? You know, I love women. When I say I love women, I mean they are interesting people. When I was younger, women used to match their clothes properly. Then a few months ago, they said, now you need to ping your clothes. You say they have pinging shoes. Pink shoe with green stripe and brown beads and white topping. That's a woman wear orange color blouse with purple color skirt and then just mix. You say, what are you doing? Say it's called pinging. Know why I'm saying so? You see where I'm going in a moment too. There was a time they wanted to dye for Brazilian hair. Now the trendy babes use Nachi. They call it Nachi. What's this one? I'm right. One day I hugged my wife. I said, why are you smelling of onions? She said, am I smelling of onions? She said, is it smelling? I said, what are you saying? He said, the treatment contains onion. I came to Bible study next time. Her consultant is here. Where is she? She's not around. So I greeted her. Don't tell her what I want to tell you. So I said, how are you? She came, good afternoon, sir. I squeezed her hand. She thought it was love. She didn't know it was vexation. She thought it was love. What am I saying? Women are funny. They have removed Brazilian. It's no longer in vogue now. You are ruining your child's destiny because of Brazilian. Then they say, we are not wearing it again. We are wearing natural hair. Yes, Nachi is natural. And it's not a joke. You know, the way they freak over it. Man, women are interested. That's the one woman wants to ruin the destiny of her children. Because how will I pay for my Brazilian hair? Listen, the ability to stand for what is right despite what natural things will be like is a spiritual trait that you must work for. Are you getting my point? As a sign of working for God. That's what I'm talking about. He said perseverance, self-control. A woman is not willing to persevere for her children. If God withdraws those kids, now what is she going to say? And they say it's the devil. Thank you. Now, these traits are the things that show that indeed, don't forget what we've said. If people don't have these things, Jesus said, workers of iniquity, whatever you say you did outside, you didn't do them for me. So when you claim you're working for God, this is what I recommend. Check. I may be working for God outwardly. I may be preaching. These days I have preachers, I listen to them, they talk, and I tell my wife, I can bet money this guy is lying. You know what God is saying? He's not preaching for me. He will come one day and say, I preach to your name because I never knew you. You're a liar. Because you worker of iniquity. People actually mount the pulpit and start telling lies. In the scripture, the old prophet, the Bible says, but he lied to him. What am I saying? If you're a preacher and you are lying so as to get a result, you're not working for God. Even if the sick gets healed when you finish preaching, sometimes preachers will say, if everything I've said today is true, God confirm it. God said, if I listen to you, I'll never do anything on this earth. Because half of your message is a lie. But lay hands on the sick. There are sick people, I plan to heal them today. As they are laying hands, see, it's proof that everything I said is true. Because it's not true. I'm proving that the name of Jesus is true. Did you not say in the name of Jesus be healed? I'm confirming that one. The other one you preached, I don't know about it. Those who were speaking, they said, we cast out demons in your name. Jesus did not say they were lying. And on such a day, you can't start new lies now. No, you can't stand day of judgment. You start concocting up stories. No. That tells me they really did those things. But the Lord Jesus was saying, that's not the foundation. It's not the outward working. You don't judge your works because of the results you saw. No. The result is just my spirit doing what it's doing. I spoke through a donkey. I can do it again. I can do it again. But what matters in your own life is that these qualities are yours, number one. And number two, they are increasing. I said something earlier that when we are paying attention to the Lord to hear his words, that is when we are sitting down at his feet, I wanted to say, is so that we can pay attention to hear his words. And what are we doing with the words that we are hearing? The words as they are coming, those words are transforming us and bringing into our hearts those divine qualities. You will see what he said. It is through these things that God made us partakers of the divine nature. It's by his promises. So as the word is coming, it is transfusing the substance of Christ into us. And a sign that indeed we are working with him is that the qualities are increasing. Indeed, the sign that it is God we are working with. I met a man once. It's a man in this town that we know, a Christian man. We met at the election venue, and I saw a book with him, Business by the Book. It's a man I respect, a businessman, a man I believe to be a man of integrity. But what I'm telling the story is what he said. So I said, oh, you have this book, sir? He said, I do. So we came to the election venue, he said, after accreditation, so that he can sit down. You know the way it is. Accreditation will now wait so we can vote. So just to while away the time. So that's why he brought the book to read. He now made a statement. He said, I read things like this once in a while. Listen to this. He said, so as to check whether I'm still serving God or have begun to serve myself. Did you hear what I said? A Christian big businessman took a book, Business by the Book by Larry Bucket. He said, let me do an assessment of my life to find out whether I am still serving God or without realizing it, I have begun to serve myself. He said, let me check divine principles. Now, I'm amplifying those things now. Let me check divine principles to know whether I'm still following them. Let me check divine order, divine ordinance. Let me check to know whether I'm still following them. Because no matter how much money I'm making, no matter how much giving I'm giving, no matter what I think I'm doing, is a man dedicated to his church, no matter what I think I'm doing, If I have deviated from the principles inside this book, I have stopped serving God, I am now serving myself. Are you getting my point? What am I trying to do? I want to redirect us again to where the work of God starts from. And now we measure whether we're really doing it. That is why I don't understand why people will go to church and they choose a department that ensures that they are never inside a service to hear what pastor is saying. No. Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to do it. Martha is coming afterwards. My name is Mary. I'm going to the service first. When Martha comes, she can do that one. You invite a guest minister, you have gone to cook. Guest minister is preaching. They say you are in the cooking committee, welfare committee for guest minister, and you agree. When the old prophet lied to the young prophet, the old prophet did not die. The young prophet that obeyed the old prophet was the one that died. What am I saying? If the word is not coming forth, you will not, that is entering you, you won't even know whether you are serving God or you are serving somebody else. This man told me that. They said, I need to check periodically to see whether I'm still serving God or have begun to serve myself. I like that expression because many people began serving God. That's how they began. Years passed. They did not know when they began to serve themselves. Things began to slip from them little by little. Little by little. I always recommend books. I'm talking about it again. Demosthenes, Happiest People on Earth. Talk about the young preacher, vibrant, on fire for God, full of the Holy Spirit. You see the anointing in his life. Yet, as he was preaching, all he was checking was how much money are we going to make in this place? When the people were not making the money, he got angry and took it upon himself to raise money. The last day, it took 2 hours, then collected all the money and ran. Demosthenes said something. He was quoting Charles Price. He said that he's not angry with the man. He said he began to wonder, how did this happen? Was it that people like me stopped praying for people like him? He said, well, is it that he had gotten brutalized in the battlefront and these are just the signs of the weariness? He said he was thinking that he doesn't know, he didn't want to judge the man. But just remember what Charles Price taught him. That those who are in front often get tired. That's why if you read my book, and I'm going to get to it in this series of teaching, I talked about the need for rest. Because many people that refuse to rest, they get tired, they stop serving God, they start serving themselves. You want to know, anyway, if you are a preacher, yes. No, not if you want to know. Why should you want to know? What's your business? If you are a preacher, you're a child of God, you want to know whether you have stopped serving God and start serving yourself, start checking the things that you are doing that 10 years ago you would not have dreamt of. That if they take a picture of you today and showed you of 10 years ago, when you were on fire with the Holy Spirit, you say, I will never do this. Simple things sometimes, like you are waiting in the lobby to see a big man because he's going to give you a check. It may not look like a horrible thing, but small things that you know you would not have done years ago. It's time to start. I mean, that's a good time to let you know. You are slowly departing from serving God. You are beginning to serve yourself. It's very important we Christians understand it. This is a constant check we must place in our lives to ensure, like that man said, that we are still serving God. We have not begun to serve ourselves. Why did he say that? So if I read through the book, and if I find the precepts of God that I've been working against those precepts, that means all the while, I thought I was serving God, but I have not been serving him, I've been serving myself. Even though I was getting some results, he was not pleased with my results. Peter said, what do? We make sure that these things are increasing. Let me drop this, all right, with it, and then we'll close. How do we do that? It's simple. I said something earlier. When the word is coming for us, you know what the word is doing? This is interesting part. You know, God negotiates with people. When I say negotiating, I don't mean that we negotiate, okay, I give you 2, you give me 5. No. What I mean is that if your name is Mary, and he wants you to conceive a child that will be the savior of the world, You won't just wake up one morning and your stomach is growing and growing and growing. What happened? I don't know. No. He will come and say, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou amongst women. He will talk to you. And he now say, why are you greeting me like that? You shall conceive a child. And you will now say, be it unto me according to thy word. Are you getting my point? That's how he does it. That's what I mean by he negotiates with people. He talks to people ahead and he says, agree. What am I going to say? When God wants to repay you, when God wants to repay me, what he also does is to allow his word come forth and show us a part of us we did not know was there. Are you getting my point? And he says, work on that. That is a work you are doing for me. After all, the primary, when we hear of the calling of God, if you ever hear Paul use the word calling, he didn't mean apostles, prophets. He calls those things gifts. When he says calling, calling is always sainthood. He will say to the church of God, called saints, that is, to become holy and perfect before God is a calling of God for everybody. It's not here called this thing. No, no, no. What he calls a calling for everybody is that you were called to be conformed to the image of the Son. You were predestined, he said, when Paul was writing to the Romans, in Romans chapter 8, you were predestined to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. If that conformation is true, if what I've said is true, it means therefore the primary thing you should be going for in what you call the work of God is to make sure that you are conformed. Please go and listen to the series I preached then, titled The Habitation of God. I can't repeat it now. The standard is so high. You know, if you think you have done right and you've worked perfectly in life, you don't know anything yet. Did you hear what I said? That was what was going on when Jesus came. When the Lord Jesus came, some men were so straight, Pharisees, most of them. God called them hypocrites, funny enough. Why, the hypocrites will say, I have not committed adultery. Jesus will call Peter. He said, check what he's thinking all the time. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Physically, he hasn't done it, but his heart has done it again and again and again and again. I have never stolen. Peter said, come. All of them, anytime a car is passing on the way, and they are looking at it. Yes, why is that German that's driving it? Why is it not me? After all, I'm a believer, it's not a believer. It's called covetousness. He's coveting his neighbor's goods and using spirituality to hide it. And he says, I have never stolen. I've never committed murder. So he hates everybody in his compound. What am I trying to bring out here? You see, when we're talking about being conformed to the image of God, being the primary duty, that's why Peter said the qualities must be what? Number one, yours. And number two, that's what I'm trying to talk about. You'll be surprised at the standard that God has for you that you have not yet attained to anything close to it. So you can never stand and say, I have done perfectly. I always like to drop one for believers to wake them up to reality. What is that one? If you tell a man, please give me 5,000 naira. I will give you next week, latest Wednesday. If you pay on Thursday morning, it's a sin. You're just 12 hours late. You said latest Wednesday. You can explain it from now to tomorrow. It's a sin. I didn't say you'll go to hellfire. So calm down. Even me, I still do things like that once in a while. When I say once in a while, that one again is a lie. I just realized that it's more often than once in a while. Do you get my point? I'm just trying to throw the standard up there for us to realize that God is calling us to something higher. He said to the people, except your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees. I'm talking about that increasing. So what is the work of God? I tell my wife once in a while, I say, baby, I hate this thing that I do once in a while. I say, what is it? I will tell somebody I will call you, and I won't call the person. Said, then call the person. I said, if it was that easy, why would I be discussing it with you? I am telling you, I need to pray that God will not only work on me to want to call, because some of those people, I don't want to call them. You think I forgot? I didn't forget. The phone is in my hand. I'm not owing the person money, but the person's voice is just on. I said, look, I told this fellow I will call him. Well, I didn't fear harassment. And it is ungodliness. That's where I'm going. Even though I have all these excuses, was actually ungodly for you to say, I will call and you don't call. And many of us don't realize it. I don't know whether I get my point. If these qualities are yours and are what? Increasing. Now, this is what I'm going to make about it. We see the improvement of the qualities in our lives as a labor for God. So when I say this, I said somebody I'll call and I don't call back. Are you getting me? Then what I'm trying to say is that, listen, Banky, pray about it. Walk towards it. Rearrange your tongue. Speak words that you intend to fulfill. Don't use words to end a discussion because you don't want to continue talking, because anytime you do that, you are weakening your faith. I said earlier, faith, that in the previous teachings, faith is not just a method. There are spiritual substances in our souls we're talking about. And many times we waste those things by the way we carelessly use our mouth. By telling somebody, don't worry, I will pay you next week. And next week comes, you don't do as you have said. I will call you by the end of tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, you don't do as you have said. Listen, I'm not here to condemn anybody. That's why I talked about myself also. But it's a spiritual labor. We labor. You say, God, no. My life must not continue like this. I must be conformed. Next time, I'll finish it next time. What do we now do? We start with the issue of confession of sins. Confession of sins. That's what believers do. It's not you wake up in the morning and say, God, what have I done today before you so that you'll be able to answer my prayer? No. That one I just mentioned now, I don't fulfill my words. If I tell somebody I'll come by 8, I will still be sleeping. It's not right. I confess it to God, and I start confessing the word of God over my life so that those qualities will be mine and they will be increasing. And that, listen, my brethren, that's work for God. God rewards it. There are things people do, God will say, because of this thing you have done, in blessing, I will bless you. When Solomon said to God, God said, what do you want? He said, I don't want all of those things. I just want wisdom to be a good king. God said, you're serious about that? Then the things you did not ask for, I will give you. Solomon would never have thought that was a seed he was sowing. Who would have preached, refused to ask God for wealth as a seed? Think about it. Who would have said, oh, Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offerings. That's why God blessed him. No, God said, it is because I said, ask me for anything. And you didn't ask for these things. That's why I'm pouring them upon you. Can you see what I'm trying to say here? That is, there are things we do just by sitting down at home and saying, dear Lord, my tongue must be pure. I must not tell a lie. And you start working on your tongue and say, I will never lie with this tongue. And God says, for this one that this boy has said, now I know he's ready for the release of my grace to make him a president in a country like Nigeria. Are you seeing my point? Those are the things that faith does. Then the destiny that God has planned starts getting released. That is how we work for God. We'll continue from that particular point. Let's bow down our heads and let's ask God for one thing. Say, Lord, I want to do what is pleasing to you continually. Help me to do that. I want to do what is pleasing to you continually. I told you in the story at the beginning. A man said, I will build a church by myself so that people can worship in it. While celebrating, he left his doors open for everybody to come and eat. And I reasoned, I said, this second one is probably more important to God than the first. I said, Lord, help me to do what is important all the time. Not for what I want to get, but so that I can just simply be pleasing to you. All right, let's just give it all thanks once again. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because I've been set free. I thank you because Christ is in me. I thank you because I am known by him. Say, I am known by Christ. And Christ is in me.
I know him.
I am in him.
I know him.
And I'm in him. Say,
in him I'm free.
In him I am above all things.
In him all my blessings are.
I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings
in heavenly places.
Say, all curses are broken.
I walk in the newness of life.
All curses are broken.
I walk in the newness of life.
Say this, I have ability.
And I am productive.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
I am not afraid.
Christ is in me.
I have power.
Now, listen to this. We are taking from Jeremiah chapter 8. I have power to create wealth.
I have ability.
There is something in my hands.
I can create something.
I can produce something. Now listen to me. Economic downturn is not allowed to turn you down.
Amen.
Are you getting my point?
Amen.
In the midst of economic downturn, you will be productive.
Amen.
You are the reason why the economy will look up again.
Amen.
Now say to after me, in the name of Jesus,
name of Jesus,
I am a blessing.
I am a blessing.
In the name of Jesus,
name of Jesus,
I create wealth.
I create wealth.
Now listen to this. You are not just making money, you are producing something.
Yes, sir.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I create wealth. Well, does not mean you started Facebook. The woman who took ordinary beans, blended it, all right, mixed it with pepper and crayfish and oil and boiled it and it became moi moi. The beans is not what it used to be. It is now what? She has created wealth by transforming beans. When you say create wealth, sometimes people are waiting for, okay, what can I design that will look like Facebook? If you take an ordinary material, a shirt, you cut it, you measure me, and you sew it, and I'm looking like I'm looking right now. You have created anointing. Are you getting my point? Yes, you took a stretch of cloth. You put your labor inside it. What you have produced is the creation of wealth. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Sand, cement, you know, gravel. People mix it, and the next thing you see a building standing is creation of wealth. Those of us that will have lived in the open will not have shelter. That is what God sent us to this earth to come and do. Not to wait for government to be paying salary. Local government in Edo the other day, they went on strike. They were protesting. They went on strike. It did not work. They decided to turn to protest. You know why? 18 months, they have not been paid. And I said, hey, you are still there. My auntie, some of them that came for, they said, I said, what is it about this government? He said, you know, security. I said, security? Where are you people? He said, pensionable. But I said, it's no longer pensionable. Right now, you contribute your own pension. Please, brethren, poverty is banned from your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In this life, you will be productive.
Amen.
I give everybody an assignment, especially if you are needing money. Go home and say, what is it that I can do? Listen, you are not down.
Amen.
Please put out your two hands like this. Let's pray over these hands. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Whatever you put these hands to do, it will prosper.
Amen.
To the man who said, I don't have work, this is the word of the Lord for you this week. Eh? This weekend, go home and rest and say, what is it that I can do? And on Monday, start doing it whichever way. I will say something to surprise some people. It may be I can wash clothes. I will hang them. There's a place I'm staying. I can hang them at the back. That's laundry business. I can even go to a car wash. Because in a short while, God will open a door for you who own a car wash. I can make clothes. I can cut this. I can do that. I can cook. I can. There are so many things you can do. I can teach children. In the name of Jesus, anything you put these hands to do, they will prosper.
Amen.
God will give you insight.
Amen.
He will tell you what to do.
Amen.
Idleness is dead.
Amen.
Poverty is dead.
Amen.
Productivity has come into your life.
Amen.
Wealth you will create.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the midst of this economy, listen to me, you will prosper.
Amen.
I say you will prosper.
Amen.
I say you will prosper.
Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ,
amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
You are a giver.
Amen.
You are not a beggar.
Amen.
You are a giver.
Amen.
I said you are a giver.
Amen.
You help people.
Amen.
You will increase.
Amen.
God will multiply your seed for sowing.
Amen.
And increase the harvest of your righteousness.
Amen.
I said God will multiply your seed for sowing.
Amen.
And he will increase the harvest of your righteousness.
Amen.
Oh God, in the name of Jesus, prosperity has come to you.
Amen.
And poverty has disappeared permanently.
Amen.
Listen, you will claim the one that belongs to you.
Amen.
By this time next year, you will give out a million naira.
Amen.
I want to give you one piece of advice. Make it a target from today. Your mind, by this time next year. It's not that I will eat too. That is, you even get to a point, you say, no, this month I'm not eating. Let me complete my 1 million offering. You will, oh God, by which year are we in? Which year? By 2018, you will be paying for people to go to private universities.
Amen.
A young man will say to you, "Say, I like to do computer engineering." I say, "I hear they are good in Covenant. How much is it? Tell you 800,000 a year." I say, "Don't worry, go and pay your acceptance fees. I guarantee you, 4 years, 800,000 every year, I will pay." God will give you that ability in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When people say there's a casting down, don't ever forget. For you, there is what? God has lifted you up.
Amen.
Give him thanks again this evening. Say, Lord, I thank you. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.